You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. As always, I'm your host, Mark King, for this show. Got Joe Monix with me for the entire show today. What's going on, Joe?
I'm doing all right, man. The Memphis Grizzlies, as we record this, obviously things are very fluid, but they look like they might be effing up a little bit.
We're recording this on Wednesday night. The Thursday is obviously the trade deadline. It feels like to me as the day has gone, I expected something to happen today, and as the day has gone and every other teams are making moves, it feels like everybody's making moves. Everybody's moving around the Grizzlies, and the Grizzlies are just standing still.
Yeah, and it makes no sense, to be honest with you. I guess you can make an argument, especially for Conley, and I tweeted this out earlier today, on Wednesday. You could probably talk me into, and maybe you can try in our segment here, Mark, you could probably talk me into standing pat with Mike. I'm not married to the idea of trading him. I always just thought it made sense to move on from both Mark and Mike together, but there's probably a logical argument for keeping him at this stage, especially considering you have him under contract. There will be a lot of teams with a salary cap space in the summer. Not everybody's going to be able to sign a superstar free agent. Maybe they'll take a trade of Mike into their cap space for a pick. That all makes sense to me. So I'd rather see Conley traded at this stage. I at least wouldn't hate him staying on the team. If Marc Gasol is still on this team after the trade deadline, it is gross negligence. It's embarrassing to cover this team, to follow this team, to be associated as a fan of this team, considering that is even a possibility at this stage. Not because Marc is a bad player at this point, but because you made it very clear through your actions what your intent was. You had, at some point, some sort of communication with Marc Gasol that led him to believe he was being traded, which is why there was a trash can sitting outside, or a trash bag sitting outside of his locker. And you can talk more about that in a moment if you haven't already, Mark, the visuals of that since you were there in the locker room. But the trash bag in front of the locker, the nameplate being taken off of the locker, showing up with your wedding ring on, not knocking Mark. I'm talking about, it's actually a testament to his character that he came out on that bench and sat there with the team in the first half, at least in my opinion, that he wanted to be there with his teammates that especially Mike, who he's been around over a decade now. There's just so many bad optics. And, you know, there's a great Twitter thread with Matt Hudlicka and Chase, two former GBBers, and Peter Edmiston and Chris Harrington. And they were talking about this today, the idea of the optics and whether or not it matters. It matters to me because it shows that you're not competent, and it at least allows for that to continue to creep into people's minds about your gross incompetence, because there's nothing else filling the vacuum. There's nothing else filling the void. There's no Robert Parra coming out and saying, this is the vision. There's no Robert Parra coming out and saying, this is what we're going to do. This is why we're doing things the way we're doing it. I said this on the Gary Parra show today. I don't expect complete transparency. I do expect an acknowledgement of needing to move forward. And whether it's not occurring when it looked like it was going to, and it was reported that they were in heavy discussions, whether it is the missed opportunity with Houston, the rumors of Jermichael Green and Garrett Temple for Brandon Knight in a first-round pick, if that was the offer, that should have been accepted 5 days ago. I don't understand how a three-team trade where Cleveland is able to take advantage of that opportunity, I don't get how that slips away. Because you look at that three-team trade, the return that Houston got for that first-round pick, in my opinion, isn't as good as Jermichael Green and Garrett Temple. It's not as good in terms of production. So they completely whiffed on that, in my opinion. And obviously, as the deadline ends, there'll probably be more reports coming out about what Memphis did and didn't want to do. There'll probably be some sort of media availability with Chris Wallace or whoever the hell is calling the shots over there now. But for me, it's just continued frustration watching a front office. And you put it well there, Mark. It's like they're standing still and everybody else is running circles around them. They're not truly motivated to get anything done, it appears. They're going to sit there and watch the world burn, so to speak. You can talk. They're bad. And they're bad with Mark and Mike on the team. So what difference does it make if you are undersold a little bit, especially on Mark, and you don't get quite the value you thought you had? At least it's an asset that's tangible that you can measure and you can move on a little bit. Sitting in the funk that you're in now, it's just going to be more of the same. There is no getting out of this. There is no light at the end of the tunnel with this roster as currently constructed. And the fact that they haven't made a move just further demonstrates that they either are unwilling to accept that or they can't see it. At this stage, I'm not sure what's worse.
Yeah, you mentioned a lot there, so I'm going to take these in pieces. But the Mike Conley being on the roster thing, and I said this on the show today, like, I'm fine if Mike Conley's on the roster. Like, you don't have to trade Mike. He can play with anybody. But the fact that you've now put him in a situation where you're telling him you're going to trade him, and then my thing is, if you trade Mark, and you might as well trade Mike just for his sake, not only the team's sake, but for his sake. He wants to win. And if you see deals coming out like the Utah deal with Rubio, Favors, and a first, that's good value for Mike Conley. Like, I don't think it's outrageous that you ask for Exum or another first round pick, but like, that's good value, and you should take the deal. I mean, Rubio and Favors, you can flip if you want to. They have trade value. It's not like you're getting a really, really bad contract back from Mike. So like, I get it. You know, you want more, but the Grizzlies are going to do the same thing they did last year. They're going to overvalue what they have, because last year they wanted a first round pick for Tyreke Evans and no one was going to give it to him without taking on a bad contract. And they didn't want to take on a bad contract either. So they're going to overvalue their assets, and then they're going to either pull the trigger on a deal they were going to do already today, last minute, and leave no time to do any other secondary deals, or they're just not going to do anything at all. And like you said, I'm not sure what's worse, because I talked about on this show the fact they have no vision. There's no one that tells you, okay, this is what we're going to do. Like, whether Robert Parrish is making the decisions or not, which is, if he is, whatever. Like, the fact that Chris Wallace has no say in it is also not true. Like, Chris Wallace will tell Robert Parrish what he thinks. Whether Robert Parrish listens to him or not is a different story. But Chris Wallace has a chance. But there's just no vision. There's no one calling the shots. There's nothing that we can look at and say, hey, these are the calculated moves. These are the calculated moves they've made to get from point A to point B. That hasn't happened. And quite frankly, I tweeted this today. They should have done these trades on Monday with Mike and Mark, Monday and Tuesday, to leave room for all these secondary deals, or try to flip Favors, or try to flip Rubio. I mean, exactly what you said with Cleveland. Cleveland's out here doing all kinds of deals, getting all kinds of assets, renting out their cap space because they know they're going to be bad. Cleveland's doing exactly what the Grizzlies should be doing, and they're doing it better than they are.
Well, and I'll give the front office credit for this, Mark. The fact of the matter is, there's still time as this podcast gets released and put out there, you know, heading into the deadline. Yep. There's still time for a deal to be done. Like, for example, just in the past 10 minutes chatting, a reporter for the Washington Wizards is putting out that the Wizards have inquired about Gasol and Conley. Now, I have no idea what the hell the Washington Wizards would offer for Gasol and Conley at this stage. But if the Wizards are getting involved, that means that, again, at least there's another name in the ring. It's another possibility, as you mentioned before. Maybe they throw Exum in there, throw a little bit of a sweetener. Same thing with Indiana, Detroit, you know, all the rumored squads, even Toronto. It can only help in terms of raising the stakes and raising the price. But at the same time, you know, I know you've heard it. I've heard it. Peter Edmiston has tweeted about it. Anthony Sain has talked about it. The lack of communication, the miscommunication, the lack of organization. There's just so many points of evidence. We talk about where there's smoke, there's fire in terms of trade negotiations, where there's smoke, there's fire in terms of the burning mess that is the Grizzlies front office in terms of their organizational practices. And I think that starts at the top. And I wrote a piece about that for Grizzly Bear Blues today. it starts at the very top. And that should scare Grizzlies fans, because you can talk about firing Chris Wallace all you want. He's been scapegoated a good bit, and in a lot of cases rightfully so. You can't fire an owner. He's here as long as he wants to be, or until he tries to move the team and the locals can buy him out or whatever that process is. But he's in charge. There's no getting rid of Robert Pera. And because of that, if he is the problem, which in my opinion, in the absence of evidence to the contrary, I'm starting to think he's just as much of a problem as anything, then you really have a larger issue on your hands.
Well, I said on the show that came out today that I was going to save my rant for Friday morning and save myself killing the Grizzlies till Friday, because you're right. They still have time. So what happens throughout tonight and tomorrow remains to be seen. We might be coming on this this is a great, proud of you guys. But the reality is as it gets closer and closer, you're like, well, you have that sinking stomach. Like Robert Perry, he screwed it up. But drafted Jaren, or somebody drafted Jaren for that matter. Like, would you rather have someone with no basketball experience or someone who's like mediocre running your team? Like, what's the better of the two?
That's a good question, and one that's hard to answer sitting here. I think that you have to. And we talked about this a little bit with the hiring of J.P. Bickerstaff last summer. Hold yourself to a higher standard. Like, if you don't see the value in your organization, if you don't see the opportunity that people have to come work for the Memphis Grizzlies, if you can't set up a culture as a room, give off the aura of confidence enough to make people want to work for you, and you're settling. That's what it feels like. They're settling. They're settling for Chris Wallace and the front office structure as it is, whether Wallace is fully in charge or not. They're settling for J.B. Bickerstaff. They settled for him. They didn't go out and have an interview process. There's only 30 head coaching jobs in the entire world in the National Basketball Association. The highest level of basketball you can possibly play on the planet, there's only 30 head coaching jobs. You mean to tell me that nobody wanted that job? I find that really hard to believe. I'm sorry. So there's no focused attempt to put the organization first and make it a place that people want to be. And that's frustrating. You know, it makes you wonder how Robert Pera became a billionaire at such a young age. You know, it makes me think I made some poor life choices, because he doesn't run his organization very effectively, at least from the outside. It doesn't appear to be a place that inspires confidence. And if I were a free agent, why would I want to go play in Memphis, beyond it being a small market, beyond the issues that Memphis as a city has that have been documented here, there, and everywhere? You know, I love Memphis. I'd love to go back. I'm not trying to disrespect Memphis, but there's reasons that you had to overpay Chandler Parsons to get him to come. But at the same time, in front office jobs, it's different. You know, there's not as many opportunities, or there's not as much glamour to it. You're just more interested in the position and the opportunity to kind of advance. I don't understand why Memphis can't be a place where young coaches, young smart front office people earn their legs, so to speak, in the NBA and kind of take a jump. So I think they sell themselves short when it comes to their hiring practices. At least they have the past few years, between bringing Chris Wallace back after Jason Levien left, and obviously the fiasco with Fizdale and now J.B. Bickerstaff.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting, and I don't really care about the whole it being awkward stuff if they don't trade either one of Mike and Mark. That doesn't bother me. What bothers me is, like you said earlier, is the optics, is the way they treat these people. I mean, we're in the locker room the other night, and it's like a memorial service. There was like 25 people in the locker room, and God help us, there's kids from Arlington High School doing a job shadow that day. Like this ain't the way it really is normally. But there's like 25 people in the locker room. People like taking pictures of with Mike at Mark's locker. Like, everything's gone out of Mark's locker, save for a few things. Literally every media member like shook Mike's hand, tell him that good luck. You know, like they're gonna miss him. They even shook my hand, and I haven't been covering the team for a couple of years. Like, you know, he's such a nice guy. Like, it's just such a weird thing. Like, the way you treat those guys if they don't get traded, that is the bigger issue, underlying issue, because players take notice of that. Players, if you don't think players don't look at that, you're crazy. Look at what AD's dad said about Boston. If Boston can do that to Isaiah Thomas, they can do that to anybody. Players understand and take notice, more, especially it's different treating Tyreek Evans like that, but treating your franchise cornerstone players like that, it's a whole different ballgame for this franchise.
Sure. I think that's fair to say. And to me, in some ways, they have handled this properly. I think Robert Parra telling them they were on the trading block, that's the appropriate way to handle it.
Yeah.
Mark Gasol, if a trade is in the final stages, as everybody thought it was on Tuesday, is appropriate. I do think that they deserve some credit for some of the things they've done. And you made a good point earlier, Mark. We were recording this on Wednesday night. You know, a Woj bomb or a Sham shot. Something could come along in the next 23 hours. I guess it'd be less than that now. You know, whatever hours left it is, and it obviously could all change. And we could say, "Oh wow, 2 first-round picks and 2 young players, and they took on some bad money, but that's okay because they got assets and players." So good for the Grizzlies. I that's still on the table. But given their history, given what they've done, aside from, you know, again, some things they did well in the offseason with Kyle Anderson signing, acquiring Garrett Temple to begin with, some shrewd moves there, but the hiring of J.B. Bickerstaff, the return of Chris Wallace, there's a lot of the handling of the Tyreek Evans situation last year. There's a lot that's gone wrong for this front office as well. It's hard to look at them and say, oh, yeah, they're totally going to nail this. There's no reason to believe that it's a lock that this situation is going to go the way that it should in terms of Memphis using the assets that they actually have, and Mark and Mike, and again, they are players and humans. I use asset in a business standpoint. The good players that they have, the teams want as they pursue a championship, they can use those pieces to get themselves in a better position moving forward around Jaren Jackson Jr. If they don't take full advantage of that, whether it be now or in the summer in the case of Conley, then they've failed and they've done something that's going to only hold them back. And 5 years from now, we'll be looking at Jaren Jackson Jr. the same way that people look at Anthony Davis right now. And it's going to be extremely frustrating for everybody.
Joe, I appreciate you hopping on and joining me for the full episode today, man. If you're not following Joe on Twitter, make sure you follow Joe on Twitter at Joe Mullenix. You follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Grizz and me at King_Producer. We're going to see what shakes out through tomorrow through trade deadline. Hopefully, we record an emergency podcast because something has went down, but we shall see. If not, I will talk to you again next week where hopefully it'll be a completely different roster, and we'll talk about some of those young players that we're excited about, man.
And we'll be able to break down everything on our episode of GBB Live, the Grizzly Bear Blues podcast, where you're going to be my guest tomorrow night. So,
I almost forgot about that. Yes, absolutely. We're going to be doing GBB Live. So we'll have live reaction tomorrow afternoon at, 8 Central our time. And, it's going to be – hopefully we'll be able to talk about a lot of good things tomorrow night on your show as well.
Fingers crossed. We might just be yelling at each other for 20 to 30 minutes. We'll see. Either way, it's going to be a lot of fun. Thank you, Mark.
All right, man. We'll talk to you tomorrow.